Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Hello, Wisconsin, and welcome to EMS Live. Today is Tuesday, December 13, 2016. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. It's a pleasure to have you with us today. I'd like to also bring into the program Chris Anderson, Larry Knuth, and Dan Williams. Hello, and good morning, gentlemen. Here we are, the last show of 2016.
Here we are. This year has gone by way too quickly.
Yeah, a good year as far as the show goes. I think we've brought some really good topics forward and had some great discussion. So hopefully we get another whole year of that.
Absolutely.
Yes, we are planning to do the program twice monthly, the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month, starting at 9. It's, of course, live and then also recorded. So our listening audience has the convenience to listen on demand when they would like. But that's the plan for next year. And we are also getting our topics lined up for January already. So stay tuned for that information. We'll email it out as well as post it to the PAW website at paaw.us. In just a few minutes, we'll be joined by our guests, Dana Seckler and John Ike. Dana and John, of course, have been on this program previously. They are committee members on the state's legislative committee on volunteer firefighter and EMT shortages. The committee is starting to narrow its focus and complete its work. We'll get an update from John and Dana here very, very shortly in the next few minutes. Our program is going to last about 30 minutes. Today's show is sponsored by McNeil & Company and Stark Collection Agency. Before we get into our first commercial break, I want to extend my thanks and appreciation to Chris, Dan, and Larry. Patrick Ryan is not with us today, but I want to extend my thanks to them. This has been an interesting year for us. We've worked to develop the program, and we really appreciate the listenership. I would say in total, our programs over the last 2017 have been downloaded probably 6,000 to 7,000 times. So it's very respectable, and we really appreciate the listenership from those throughout Wisconsin and the nation that are hearing our message and paying attention to what's being discussed. And I really think that's the intent, to talk about what is happening around us in EMS and the world of emergency medical services. Any other comments, Chris, Larry, or Dan?
No, I think you said it very well, and I know I haven't been able to be on the show for the last couple of months, but even though it's the last one of the year, I'm excited to be back.
Okay, sounds good. I've got Dana and John on with us. Let's dip into our first commercial break here, and then we're going to be chatting quite a bit more as far as an update from them on the committee's action, what they've been talking about, and really where they see things heading from this point forward. There is some legislation that is being introduced, so things are definitely gaining some traction with the state legislative committee. This is EMS Live in Wisconsin. Our program will continue after these brief messages.
The Ambulance Services Insurance Program, or ASIP, by McNeil & Company, offers specialized insurance for today's ambulance services. ASIP has consistently led the industry, developing a deeper understanding of their clients' challenges and opportunities more than any other provider. McNeil & Company has a dedicated risk management team and an in-house claims staff that work diligently on their clients' behalf to help ambulance companies operate more safely and avoid catastrophic losses. As other programs and carriers have come and gone, McNeil & Company has maintained a stable offering and leveraged their expertise to provide education and training programs that add value to their policies. You can learn more by visiting McNeil & Company's website at www.asip.com. That's www.asip.com. The fine art of successful ambulance billing and collections begins with the Stark Agency, located in Madison. The Stark Agency provides full-service debt collection, specializing in EMS and ambulance patient billing. They're also experts in the Wisconsin Offset Trip Program, a new option for ambulance services. For more information, call 877-274-7764. That number again, 877-274-7764. The Stark Agency is accredited by the Better Business Bureau and a member of the Wisconsin Collectors Association.
EMS Live in Wisconsin is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts or guests during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 and press number 1 on your keypad, or send an email to emslive@paaw.us. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to EMS Live in Wisconsin. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Larry Knuth, Chris Anderson, and Dan Williams. And I'd like to welcome into the program Dana Seckler and John Eich. Hello, and welcome back to EMS Live. We appreciate you sharing your time with us this morning.
Good morning,
Absolutely.
Joe.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Having us.
You're welcome. The podcast that we did a couple months ago with both of you on the State Legislative Committee received quite a few downloads and listens. And obviously very important to our industry here in the state as you look to address the firefighter and EMT shortages. This has been a longstanding issue for many years. And we're very thankful that the legislature appointed the committee to address this and take a deep dive into the issue and take a good look at it. You're obviously ending the term of the committee's work. And so we'd like to get an update on where things are at, where you see things going, and just have a good discussion about it. So Dana or John, whoever would like to go first.
Dana?
Thank you. It was, first of all, an honor to be on the committee and to serve with the group of people that were there. And it was, I think it was a good cross-section of all the different entities that are in Wisconsin. If you sat through and listened to all the testimony that was given over the past months, it was very apparent there was documentation that there really is a shortage for volunteer choir and EMS. We already knew that, right? We knew that from years and years and years ago. What the nice thing is, this is finally coming to the forefront of the legislators, and they're finally at a point where they understand a little bit of what EMS and fire is about, and now they're starting to understand some of the issues that we're dealing with. So as we listen to the testimony, some of the people just gave only the problems. They tried to give some solutions, but they're like, I don't know what a solution would be. Other people did give some solutions that they felt would be appropriate for their area. And I will tell you that by the time we got to the point of how do we start really determining what to do to move forward to solve some of these problems, we all were in agreement that there was not going to be one silver bullet that's going to fix the whole thing. We recognize that there is a difference between fire and EMS. Though they certainly work together, and many of us are trained in both fire and EMS, there are different issues that affect both, and we needed to try to figure out solutions that address individuals that are just fire, individuals that are fire and EMS, and individuals that are just EMS certified.
If I could, and on that same note, and I know, Dana, you would say the same thing, that not only that difference, but we noticed that from community to community, there's quite a difference. You have, you know, the rurality of it, the remoteness of the community, the particular dynamics with municipal government, all of those things, and the relationship between EMS and fire, all of those things play to different problems, different dynamics, which require different solutions. So, you know, as Dana said, there's not one thing that does it right for every community. So it's going to have to be a handful of things moving down the road.
Yeah, great point. Even the way in which delivery of classes was discussed, and that's, you know, you might think it might be one way in every community, and that's exactly right. It would differ. It differed from entities that were further up north versus farther down south. As far as the commute for people to go to class, the use of technology in the classrooms, or to try to create one class to go to multiple departments at the same time, truly almost by community and certainly regionally, there's going to be different solutions for different issues that were identified.
And I would say that the committee was split on several issues, and not really in a contentious way, just that you have people on that committee and those who testified who live and breathe this these dynamics every day for decades. And so they're pretty sure they have a sense of what's needed. But everyone is looking at it from their own lens, and so the committee members would, you know, some were in favor of this Ivy Tech proposal, others were not. Some were in favor of, well, many different things. I think, you know, we could agree about certain things. I mean, I think, you know, for me, bottom line, I think one of the most important things that we could do is, and maybe I'm being overly simplistic, but just the tax credits for the volunteers. I think if you can say to somebody, it's very hard, there's a lot of challenging aspects to it, you feel like nobody respects you, but here's some tax credits every year from the state to thank you for your service, I think that's valuable. There were two proposals put on with the hope that at least one of them would get through. It's challenging. It's a challenging budget time, we're told, and so those will be a hard push. But I think those are valuable and important. And also, I would say that I would like to see us rally around this as a community, as an EMS community, after this legislative process is over, because I don't think we'll get everything we want, and we didn't even with these proposals. And so let's use this as a spark to start something bigger. To keep motivated and get some things changed and done, because this won't be able to solve all our issues.
Now, I was just going to mention the last committee meeting was November 15th. So fairly recently, you've been meeting every month since July. There's been presentations and there's been legislation recently introduced. For those listening to this webcast or podcast, if you would like more information on the committee and the items that are posted to their dedicated website, let me just direct our listeners there, Dana, and then I'll have you respond. The easiest way to find it is go to the PAW website at paaw.us. In the top right corner, you'll see current priorities for the association. One of them listed and highlighted is the legislative committee. Just click on those words. It's a link directly to that website. Dana, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Actually, I was going down that road where you just headed. There's actually 9 pieces of legislation that the committee is discussing and we're going to be voting on in the near future here. As John said, there was spirited talk. It certainly was not contentious. Everybody was bringing up from their viewpoint how they felt about it. They were very passionate about it. Some of the people are going to agree on some of the proposed legislation. Some people are going to argue against that proposed legislation. I think some of the things that we could all agree on, again, would be that tax credit. I think that's a very short-term, quick, easy identifier for a reward for a job well done at the volunteer level. I think associated with that would be the length of service awards. Those were already in place, but what it did is it decreased the time to be vested, as well as it decreased the time where you would be able to collect on it to more reasonable. I think when it was originally created, it was based on career departments. A little more long term, it was not necessarily with the viewpoint of volunteer fire and EMS, where they might be traveling from community to community as they follow their paths in life with families and jobs and such. There's a couple of letters that are drafted, whether it's to the college system or to DHS as well, that are talking about some suggestions and solutions on how to possibly help with EMS being administered. One such example was to allow for some type of flexible staffing where, say, an ambulance service in the community can always guarantee that they have an AEMT level service. There will always be at least an AEMT on the rig as a minimum. But then they get a person who travels through once or twice a week that's a paramedic. They were trying to figure out how can we allow that person to come to the department and volunteer for that 24 hours or 48 hours that they're there during the week to be able to offer a higher level of care to the community. So that, they thought that might be a way to allow for some creative functioning in the state. One of the legislations talks about introducing districts, and it could be a fire district, EMS district, or combination of fire EMS district. And what it does is it allows for local entities to be able to combine together and create a district that actually would be a taxing authority, and that would allow them to, in our words, it would be consolidation, potentially regionalization, combination, however word you want to think about it. It allows them at the local level to start combining resources, whereas they didn't have that option in this capacity in the future.
So it also puts decision-making in the hands of people that are elected to that position specifically versus being generalists, you know, commissioners or et cetera. So that's, in my mind, an advantage as well. You've got people that are elected to this body that govern taxation and fee assignment, and they're hopefully there coming from industry.
Very good. Thank you for the update, Dana and John. So your recent meeting was November 15th, but going forward, the committee is going to handle its work not in person but by email. Is that what we're to understand?
Yeah, and that was a bit of a switch, I have to say. We expected to meet one more time, and I certainly was hoping for that to sort of make the final appeal on some of these bills that I thought were more important. But the way they decided it, that we would vote on which drafts would be voted on, which is an interesting turn. But so we did our vote to say which one should be on the ballot, and then the ballots will be mailed to us and we'll return those. One thing I've heard is that, and I don't know that this is true in this case, but in other cases, the only way legislation gets moved forward as a draft, submitted, is if it's unanimous consent by the committee. So I don't know if that's true. I'd like to follow up with Legislative Study Committee staff to see if that is. But even if it is not true, I think it is the work is not done after the committee votes. Just because the committee says, yes, let's move this forward, and it goes into draft, that's just a lonely bill sitting on the floor hoping for a champion to pick it up and run with it. And so we need to make sure that we're all reaching out to our legislators to say that this bill or these bills are very important to the community, to the rural communities, urban communities, et cetera, and we need them to be passed into legislation.
Yeah, I'd like to echo that I see that our work that we've done up to this point as just the beginning of where we're going to go to from now. There are nine bills plus two or three letters for suggestions to DHS as well as the college system, but really – this should be where all EMS and fire personnel can take some of these and start going to their local legislators and saying, hey, look, you guys had this study. Here's some of the suggestions that came from it. And actually, I see it growing. I think that beyond this, as time moves forward, that there'll be other legislation that will be proposed from this, and then we can really, from the grassroots, start looking at additional ways, or by saying, hey, look, since this got enacted, here's the positive that it happened, and let's start sharing that around the rest of the state with other entities that are struggling, and let's help our brothers and sisters, you know, across the counties and the communities in maintaining, you know, the volunteer fire and EMS departments in those areas. So I really see this as a starting point, not the ending point. And I think for years to come, we can point to these and create future legislation that will continue to help all our services.
Yeah, I agree. I was just going to say some of the real solutions are much deeper and involve culture change. I mean, we've been having a system that we have for a long time, and it's leading us to this point, and that trend is going to continue where it's not going to work. And so in order to make changes with that, we're going to have to make deeper changes. And that's going to take a lot of work on all our parts to make that. And the legislature just can't do that for us.
We're talking with Dana Seckler and John Eich. Both the gentlemen are with the State Legislative Committee on Volunteer Firefighter and EMT Shortages. I want to also bring into the conversation Larry, Dan, and Chris. I know you've been watching this closely, as well as Dan. You were a participant to the group in making a presentation to the committees a few months ago when it just began. Any additional comments, thoughts, observations from the three of you?
This is Dan. I guess I was hoping to see something that would have provided some sort of an incentive to communities, either in, you know, some flexing of the set of the taxation cap or whatever, for those that actually are to regionalize or come together. I heard a chuckle, so obviously that was talked about, but didn't gain much traction.
Well, that was.
Go ahead, Eric.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that, it was certainly discussed, as Dana said, the tax levy came up again and again and again, and that was a non-starter as far as some of the legislators on the committee, and they're probably correct that it's a non-starter for the body as a whole. But I will say that there is always the idea that, you know, as a county entity, there is no levy cap. And so that solution exists currently. And I think this is part of the culture change that I'm talking about. I mean, I think we have to go there. And also, I don't know, Dana, does the fire district get around this as well?
Not in the proposal that we have currently drafted. We attempted to try to put it in there so that there would be a raising of the cap on the tax levy limits. But let me reiterate, this is only the beginning. So what gets put forward is a bill, and anybody out there that's listening to the radio broadcast that's actually worked on a bill, you know that what the first original draft is not what comes out at the end. There's multiple revisions, and that's where I'd like to go back to the – I think it's up to us at the grassroots level then to say, this is a great bill, and using the fire district and EMS district bill as an example – hey, this is great. We support it 100%. We want to see it move forward. However, it's missing one key component, and that key component is lifting the tax levy limit. And let's make it similar to what you said. There's already a law that's current that says if you are a countywide entity, ambulance service, you are exempt from the tax levy limits. So just borrow the language from that, throw it into this proposed bill, it's not there yet, but as it goes through, you know, the legislative committees and finally goes out on the floor for debate, let's put that in there and try to get it passed.
Yeah, I mean, I can certainly see why the tax levy becomes a bit of a non-starter, because I think once they open that door, then you got 600 other people trying to dive through it as well. But
yeah,
there's other ways to provide incentives to communities, and I mean, obviously the one is out there with the countywide systems. We take advantage of that here in Door County, and it's been very helpful to us. But yeah, that was the one area that I kind of called out as you know, I think that all of these pieces of the puzzle that you guys have come up with, which is wonderful, are great. But you know, that there's needs. I still think we need something that really is a huge impact that will really jumpstart this thing. And one of the things, I think all these things combined are that impact, but I think if you start looking at them individually, it could get a little clouded and might get watered down to some degree.
I don't disagree. I'd like to take that and use an example that you shared when you testified, Dan. You said to the committee that these problems really aren't new. They're from 20 years ago when you first testified with them. And you could literally take out your testimony from then, brush it off, bring it up to date with a few, you know, key current words, and you really have the same testimony of the issues and the same testimony of the potential solutions. And I'm in agreement. This problem has been so long. The only thing I can say is they're finally in my opinion, that we thought that 20 years ago, but I think they're finally at an opinion where they're saying, we're going to have to start taking this serious, and the problems that from 20 years ago existed have not been rectified. In fact, they've even gotten worse, and we need to use those solutions from back in the day when you and Dr. Birnbaum had testified to the original group, that these were serious issues then, we had some legitimate solutions that either weren't followed through all the way or not taken to heed their task at all. And we need to finally sit down and work these out and start to implement them. So we're in agreement with you, Dan.
Yeah, no, that's great, and I think we all agree on that. I mean, if you look at one issue, I don't know if you all saw that, you know, Robin Voss had the ambulance ride the other day.
Yeah.
And his testimony was about the bad roads and how it would affect the road budget and things like that. I mean, that was one opportunity that went, I'm pretty sure, probably statewide, if not very into the big regions anyhow. And,
sure.
I mean, if we could get something like that to again happen, where you have one legislator who really sees a problem, then we really can start to score some points.
Yeah, I'm sure I wasn't the only person in the state that said, wait, he's got a cousin that's an EMT?
Yeah.
Well, I've said enough. I'll get off. Let somebody else talk.
I do want to also say that this was a great opportunity for people to understand EMS in general a little bit more. Remember, most people only see us as ambulance drivers or paramedics, and this really helped to define the differences between emergency medical responders and AEMTs, 999s, the paramedics, as well as all the training and education. I think it opened up people's eyes to go, oh, these aren't guys that just sat down for a couple of weeks going through a book they're going out there just to help because, that's in their heart to do so. These people have to study and train in hundreds and thousands of hours. And then they have to go through we heard much testimony on the National Registry and the difficult exam and test that it really is, both in practicals and didactic areas. It really created a good spotlight on both fire and EMS and all the training and education that even the volunteers have to go through just to maintain a professional standard or level. And I was very happy to see that. I hope that continues to be open, eye-opening to many of the people around the state.
Yeah, and I do think that's a valuable PR chip right there. The difficulty, you know, it was being presented to us as if the difficulty of the National Registry test meant that it was an obstacle. You know, I think historically it's been proven that those things can actually spur people to make recruiting better. I mean, the Marines don't go, you know, it's really hard to get in to become a Marine, so let's make it easier because it's a really important role for the military. They're like, no, we're the few, the proud, and so I think that there's a genuine lack of PR that hasn't been done. Not that none has been done, but we just need so much more to educate communities and their legislators how important, difficult, and rewarding this task is. But I think, too, we have to turn it around. I mean, as much as the public needs to know this, I think we as a community have to work on ourselves and stop some of this splitting hairs between different factions. And really looking at some of these, I mean, we need to look at this as a system and say, okay, this isn't working the way it is. So let's start with a blank slate. What does it look like if we've got a provider who happens to be, say, a paramedic in a community that doesn't have a service that can utilize him or her? What does it look like to share resources? What does it look like if we keep we keep the three ambulances in community A, but we move the administration to something like a EMS district so that they administer over 3 to 5 townships. What does that look like? We keep the name of the community on the ambulance, but below we put part of the such and such system, and so everybody wins. I mean, I think we just have to get a little more innovative with this to solve these problems and not wait for the legislators to solve this for us, because they won't, frankly. Only we can solve this. But I think we're smart enough and clever enough to do this ourselves. So we need to start.
Excellent points, Dana and John. Thank you very much. And Dan, thanks for contributing also. Larry and Chris, I wanted to make sure we had your involvement also. Is there anything that you'd like to bring up?
You know, I really can't top that. I've just been listening intently for the last 10 minutes, and everything that John and Dana said you know, I agree with completely. The PR thing, I think, makes a lot of sense. There are still people that all of us meet every day that really have no idea what EMTs or paramedics actually do. And, you know, that's not an easy thing to change, and it's going to take a lot of time and work, obviously.
Good morning. This is Larry. I have a sort of a follow-up question on the proposed bills. Are we to assume that one or the other of the co-chairs will be sponsors? And then will there follow the same process of hearings and et cetera?
Well, we certainly hope, but there's no guarantees as far as I know in the process. The co-chairs convene the group. They sort of host it and run it. But once the legislation moves forward, I mean, they're politicians, you know, and they're kind of tasting the wind on all this stuff. So they could choose not to. And so that's why, as Dana said, it's so important for us to reach out and say, this is important to us. Please move this forward.
Yeah. It will be moved forward and presented in a already approved draft style. So it's not like when we go at other times of the year saying, hey, I think it'd be, I want to discuss this issue and talk about this and how would you start? All that's already been done, and they've already drafted the language and such in what would be considered first draft. So from that point, once it gets introduced, then it would certainly follow the same process as it always has. They may earmark it to go, this was a recommendation from the, you know, legislative committee study on volunteer fire and EMS shortages as a reference point. But it would still have to, I think, go through committee. It would still have to have a sponsorship. It would go out onto the floor for debate and the such. So it follows the same as any other proposed bill in Wisconsin.
And to make a football analogy, a legislative study committee bill is not a football that's handed to a running back that starts charging down the field. It's just left on the field like, hey, here's a football. If anybody wants to take it, have at it. So that's an important piece.
Good description.
And they recognize that a lot of discussion has already taken place on it, so by the time it gets to written form, they know that some of the work, not all the work, but some of the work is already done. And I would fully expect every draft bill that's proposed, if it gets to the floor and picked up, I would assume that there would be some changes in the second, third, or even fourth rewrites on them.
Good point.
Yeah, excellent point. Thank you very much, John and Dana. We have just a few minutes left. Did you want to offer any closing comments, as to how you see things maybe happening here or just in general?
Dana?
I would say that as people that are interested look out on, you know, the PAW website or the Legislative Study Committee or any other, whatever your resources are, let's really attempt in the next year or so to everybody be on the same page. I will tell you from this committee as well as from other experiences we've had, nothing kills a bill worse than for us to walk in and say, this is what we need for EMS, this is what we need for fire, this is what we need for volunteerism, only to have them go, you know, I just called, you know, my cousin. I just called so-and-so who I know locally, and he says there's no problem. He says he doesn't know what you guys are talking about. And it kills it right there. And so I would just say, as we move forward in all this, let's get up from where we were in the past and not worry about the identity. What we need to worry about is a good system that will be there that's sustainable for years to come. And if that means that we have to work with the community next door to us that we have not wanted to work with in the past, then so be it. But we can't keep saying one group of us, we have these issues that need to be addressed and bring them to legislation, and then the group that is supposed to help come back and say, well, no, we don't even know what you're talking about. What shortage? and so we've had that in the past, and I would just say as we move forward, if you disagree that there's an issue, please call the leadership from the various groups that are your resources to find out what those issues are, and let's all of us start concentrating on moving forward in solving sustainable models that will go for years to come. So that's my thought after going through this experience.
That's an excellent point, and I think this is the chance, once these bills are identified, for both PAW and WMSA to come together and email all their membership and say, look, we need to support this. Even if this dynamic isn't exactly the same in your community, let's support our brothers and sisters that are doing this and come together as a community to support it.
Excellent points, John. Yep, absolutely. Excellent points. Thank you very much, both gentlemen, for being on today's program, offering an update to our listening audience. And our appreciation not only to you, but also the other committee members for their heartfelt involvement. I'm sure people are very passionate about this. You heard a lot of testimony. There was obviously a lot of time committed to this. The next steps are very critical, and to have something happen will require action. And like you said, John, it's a matter of picking up the football, and I think that's where it's going to be here very, very soon. It's just which football to pick up and which football is going to drive home the best message and to get something accomplished. That's the other key component here. Thank you very much, both of you, for being on the program, and we sure invite you back again as things continue to unfold and to move forward in 2017. The next legislative session is beginning in February 2017, so it's just right around the corner. I know community paramedicine is already part of the discussion to bring up in that legislative session, so we already have some EMS topics that will be before our state legislators, and hopefully with good results as well. So again, our appreciation to both of you.
And thank you all for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. You're more than welcome. Please join us again if there's an update. I wanted to extend some time to Dan and Larry and Chris, if there's anything that you'd like to offer in closing and as we close out the year.
This is Dan. I think, like I said earlier on, it's been a great year. I think we've really hit on some good topics. We've had an awakening of a lot of EMS directors and providers, things they didn't know that we brought forward, which I think is really our purpose to do, and I just hope we continue to do that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
No, I think the podcasts have been a valuable asset to the EMS community. So looking forward to 2017's topics. Joe, kudos to you for the topics you brought forward. I think they're very insightful and really engaging. So looking forward to your 2017 schedule.
Okay, Larry, appreciate that very much. And Chris and Dan, thank you as well. I want to let you know, looking ahead to next year, we did reach out yesterday to MTM. That's been an ongoing discussion as far as reimbursement of Medicaid. The MTM is the state's broker for brokering rides on ambulances for their beneficiaries. And it's been, I'd have to say, a little bit of a contested issue just because of delay of payment. And I know Dana can speak very fluently to this, but we did extend an olive branch out to MTM, which they've accepted. And so they'll be one of our first guests on our podcast in January. We're just looking to confirm one of the dates. I will let you know that our next podcast for EMS Live is Tuesday, January 10th, starting at 9 a.m. If you'd like to offer content ideas, you're more than welcome to. Please feel free to email us at emslive@paw.us. This is Joe Cavelli. On behalf of the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, we'd like to thank you for your listenership. We wish you the best during the holiday season. And best wishes in the new year, and we look forward to chatting in 2017. Have a good day.
EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical services delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to emslive@paaw.us. That's emslive@paaw.us. Thank you for listening.